I think the biggest influence maybe was it was Jimi Hendrix, mm-hmm. but not the Jimi Hendrix of the songs, more the Jimi Hendrix of the floating kind of, like Third Stone from the Sun, mm-hmm. you know, like this kind of music, the weird sounds of Jimi, the feedback sounds, and that was very interesting for Guru Guru. Uh-huh. It was one big. The biggest influence. We mostly, when we drive in the van, we mostly listen to Jimi Hendrix tapes. And the other influence, I think, was the jazz influence of Uli and Mani, the free jazz influence.
They were both jazz musicians before that.
Yeah, I'm not traditional jazz musicians. I think free they started jazz, traditional, but in the end, they were a very known free jazz trio. It was called Irene Schweizer Trio. Mm-hmm. That was acoustic free jazz. And Guru Guru in the beginning was much electric free jazz, yeah, kind of music. And my personal background was, like I told you, Beatles and Stones. And,
yeah, skiffle.
And I, for me, it was different in a way, because I gave all my background, I gave away, and I really started new. Uh-huh. And for them it was a bit different, because they tried to change the acoustic free jazz into electric, uh-huh, free jazz rock music. That was the beginning. And then we had a different stage lineup, because all the other groups, they have a PA system, or maybe and the amplifiers behind, and like you do it, no?
Yeah.
But in Guru Guru we had all the amplifiers in front of us.
Yeah.
So we stood behind the amplifiers, and it was really weird.
It's hard to hear for you?
Yeah, for me it was very hard. Maybe not for Uli, not so hard, because the bass goes behind too.
No? Yeah.
For me it was really hard. But in a way it was interesting.
This was part of the feedback idea, that
yeah,
the musician shouldn't hear himself play, but should hear come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was like being in a castle, you know, behind the castle walls, and then playing music, and you have was heißt ein Schutz?
A safeguarder.
Many times the people were booing and whistling when we played, because you know this the piece UFO. You know,
yeah.
That's really weird for the people to listen to. Right. And then I started to make the whistle on the guitar to give it back, and Uli, and then it's crazy, really crazy. Yeah, and then the first big gig we played, I think, was there was in Essen in the Grugerhalle. They started with the festivals, where all the American and English groups started played first time in Germany. There was Folk and Blues Festival in Essen, uh-huh, and there we played too, and there. I think there the idea with equipment and the whole idea without songs and so became a bit confused, because we saw all the American bands and they do it different, and then a kind of commercial uh-huh started in a way, you know? and that had an impact on us too, you know?
Uh-huh. From seeing the American bands.
Yeah. Who else played there?
When we played there, there was Spooky Tooth, Tyrannosaurus Rex, and I've forgotten Moody Blues, and I've forgotten a lot. Taj Mahal, he was very good. And we were the American bands. They had a sound, a stage, like it was together then, and we were really lost, and then we first met the American or English roadies, and very hard, and so we thought, we have to get some roadies, yeah, we have to get this, and then, it became different, and it's a pity, because I think we lost identity from that moment. Uh-huh. It's rock and roll economy. It's you have to do it like this, or you will sink. And then it didn't take long time that Uli left.
He was on, so what, the third album?
He was on the third album, but when we made the third album, it was clear that he will leave. Uh-huh. So the whole Kangaroo album was a bit not very good vibes. And uh-huh. Was and then he left, and the album didn't came out. The album came out when he has left already.
Yeah.
And, so and then we had a...
Your lineup was different when the album came out.
Yeah, there was something happening. Uli's last gig was in Bavaria. Mm-hmm. And on this last gig, we were punched or
beat
up.
They broke his little finger?
Yeah, it was very really horror scene. There came some people after we finished and... Fans? And that was really fans.
Irate fans.
Yeah, and that was Uli's last gig, and it was really, really, really a pity. And then I had the finger in gibs cast, and I couldn't play for 3 months.
Yeah.
And we have to look for another bass player, and it was really. Yeah, in the end, we got Helmut Hadler.
Who's still Kahn?
Kahn, yeah. And we tried to get him into our group, and he wasn't sure. Uh-huh. And we made 2 gigs. It was crazy too, after, because then we played our very biggest gig that was in a festival here in
Germersheim,
which was a Pink Floyd festival, and many people were there. And we played.
Until today, it's been the biggest outdoor festival in
yeah.
Germany.
Yeah.
And we played right after Pink Floyd.
How many people were at the festival?
Yeah, something like
30,000. Yeah. Today, more people are going.
Yeah,
but then it was really one of the biggest festivals here.
It was the German Woodstock.
Yeah, what year was that? Like 72 or something?
Yeah, it was 72,
I think, yeah. And then, that, with Helmut, it was a pressure right from the beginning. I mean... If we would have more time to play us or to find out if Helmut could fit into the band,
mm-hmm.
but he pressed on the big gig and then he said no, I cannot do it.
It was horror playing after Pink Floyd.
Yeah, yeah.
Had fireworks and everything.
Yeah.
Right after them.
Anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and after that. We looked for other bass players. One of Amandul, Lothar Maid,
yeah.
But he didn't like it. And then another one of you know Embryo.
Yeah.
He's now guitar player with Embryo.
Roman
Bunker, yeah. And but he's a guitar player, not a bass player.
Uh-huh.
And then. We have to borrow some equipment for another bass player, and we found Bruno Sharp in Heidelberg because we wanted to lend the equipment, and he came with equipment and just started jamming a little, ne?
Uh-huh.
And then he was okay. Not really okay, because he was amateur then, ne?
Uh-huh.
But then we said, okay, you can join in just till we find another one, and so it went. And then
he stayed for a while.
He stayed for a while, yeah. 1 year, yeah. And we made the record with a Beatwell cover.
The fourth album.
Fourth album, yeah. But all the time Money wasn't satisfied. He said the rhythm is not so together. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was really a different... I mean, after Uli, it's hard for any kind of bass player. Maybe Uli is not the best... bass player, but he has really something to say about music, and
yeah.
And his stage appearance was very strong,
uh-huh.
And Bruno was like a normal guy,
yeah.
And me too. That's very problematic because Manny is not a composer in a way, and he's a spontaneous musician,
yeah,
and. But in the band has to be someone who makes compositions or texts or like this, and then I, after Uli left, I started to do this. Mm-hmm. But then my former background came back again, and I started with rock and roll.
Yeah,
and maybe that was a mistake too, because in that days rock and roll.
72
too fresh, too fresh to start new, or to, yeah. I don't know. Some people liked it, and some said I bring rock and roll influence back, and we get more younger audiences. Uh-huh. And it was good, okay. And to play maybe when we played on a festival, to play some rock and roll is good for the group, because they get audience reaction, and that was okay. But for the whole style, it was a big a cut, and it was so different. And then nobody was really satisfied, and Mani was worrying, and he found Hans Hartmann, who is a jazz bass player, acoustic bass, and really much jazz influenced.
But he never played jazz before.
No, and then it was really, even worse. He dropped in, and he's very good in acoustic bass, but it's a bit different to play electric bass. You have to learn that too.
Was he on the fourth album?
No. He was on the album with the telephone. With Don't Call Us, We Call You. But he was in the group maybe 2 weeks, and then we go to the studio. And that was...
There were some cuts on there that used acoustic bass, yeah?
Yeah. But I think the group, to get a different style, and they were not together in that state.
Uh-huh.
It was too early to go to the studio.
So there's quite a difference in style from the fourth album to the fifth album.
Yeah, and not really different. It's different. Yeah, maybe it's not different enough because Hans wanted to play more jazz,
uh-huh.
And he wants to play complicated rhythms like broken rhythms, 7/8,
yeah.
And like this, all this kind of and weird harmonies and so. And so I think. He was not satisfied with me because I cannot play this kind of music.
No.
Uh-huh. And I get this feeling, and I get nervous, and I said, I think I better leave. No. And that's what I did. And then they got a pushing near the pool.
Yeah.
And then they started to play jazz influence, Dance of the Flames. No.
Right. So what did you do after you left?
We go to Berlin together,
uh-huh.
And for half a year, and I started to get some musicians together and to start a group, which I want now. Maybe I wanted to play my compositions which I already had made,
mm-hmm.
And which with all the ideas, and I want. But it was not possible.
Then you recorded your Heidelberg album.
No, that in Berlin I only had the demo tapes,
mm-hmm.
and I thought it would be better to do it with a group, ne? But then I couldn't get the group together, and with the demo tape I went to Conny Planck, and he was interested, and so we made the record at Conny Planck's.
Uh-huh.
But it was not. It was crazy because he made the recording sessions in his spare time.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to go to the studio maybe this weekend, and then to wait 3 weeks, and then another weekend, and like this, and so the whole record was really
torn apart. You never got into the studio feeling because you would be there for 2 days and then go out again 3 weeks later.
Work on one or two songs at a time.
Yeah, and I think the lineup on the record could be really interesting because there are good musicians and different kinds, like the Cluster musicians and,
mm-hmm.
and the Crown musicians. But there was not that time to jam more and to find out what we could do really together. No?
Mm-hmm.
So it was more they played the songs which I wrote, but which they don't really like. I got the feeling they. Yeah, I don't know.
I think they tried really hard to do their best.
Yeah.
But there just wasn't the time for them to just kind of zoom out and find their own thing within the composition. Because of the time shortage, they just had to stick to the minimum and just try to learn the composition within 1 hour and then play it straight off.
Mm.
I think that was a problem for you. Was you had your demo tape, you had the compositions, and you had to put that over on them very quickly.
Yeah.
And you felt bad about that because you felt bad of having very good musicians and telling them what you're doing. You would much prefer to just move around and then put one idea of yours in here. Just, you know, let them, give them more freedom, which was not possible in a short time.
But that was, for me, it was of my own fault because my musical concept was not fixed then. It was half songs and half floating music or music without a song structure. And to get that together, it's not so easy.
It takes a little time.
Yeah. But I learned a lot on this studio session. But I will never do this again without a group and without practicing before to go into the studio. I will never. And then we had problems to sell the tapes because it was produced by Connie and me, and it was a fixed tape, and we have to sell it to a company. And we tried many companies, and in the end,
there was no good backing it, so nobody would interested.
We found Happy Bird in the end, and I think the record sold the first pressing, which was 3,000, and that's not enough to make a name or to
some did get exported to the U.S. though.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That surprised you?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Because of the letters of Susan and. I couldn't believe. That's why I don't answer. Yeah, and then I tried and tried with all kinds of musicians to play the songs of the record, Heidelberg. And I tried the group Heidelberg. And in the end I got a drummer. He was Anon and Bruno Sharp, who was with me in Guru Guru.
Yeah.
But we had some problems, personal problems from the time of Guru Guru and Heidelberg. It was hard times. And only a few gigs and disappointing gigs, and the concept was not clear enough, and it was improvised music together with songs, and it was not so good. And then we split again. And I learned to know the acoustic musicians in this area here. And I started to play acoustic guitar in small clubs in Weinheim and Heidelberg. And
you're just playing solo, or
no? I don't play solo. I played it was different kinds of music. Some Mittelalter, old German music, and some American folk songs, and I played acoustic rock and roll songs, and I had
with background singers.
Yeah, it was a group. It was called Odenwald Express, with violin and backup singers, and that was always different lineups because it was really amateur and some non. Some beginners in the group and some problems, but that went on maybe 2 years, I think, and we made this record, Odenwald music of the Odenwald.
Yeah, the one you showed me.
Yeah. With
so with all the different groups. And
all different groups, but all the same musicians in different groups.
Yeah.
It's an interesting record, but the production is not good enough. The sound is not so good. And in the end, there was different too. Then last year we went to Mallorca, and there, what I told you last night, I met David Allen, and I really thought sometimes I could join the band of his friend, which was called Mother Gong, and she Jilly Smith, and she tried to get this band together, and with French musicians and an American saxophone player, but it doesn't, it couldn't, it was not so good, I don't know. And then it gave me more strength to start all over again, mm-hmm. which was in after Christmas. And then I started the new group, it's called Riff, R-I-F. With a young bass player, he's 17, and a drummer, both from Heidelberg. And now, when I play the acoustic guitar, I started to translate American rock and roll into German lyrics. Mm-hmm. And that's quite good for me, and now all the songs are with German lyrics.
Yeah.
And short songs, and I think the public and the audience reaction is better now for this kind of music, and I think this can be a good group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a long time, all the German groups would be singing in English.
Yeah,
stuff, and now they're starting to do songs in German.
Yeah. There are many groups who start to sing in German now. And Udo Lindbergh was a big influence on them. Mm-hmm. And maybe in autumn we can cut a record, maybe if we have a little luck.
So you described the riff as sort of punk almost?
No, it's not. No, you know, exactly. It's not really. I would say it's the music which shows, it's my personal influences of all the American and beat groups from England many years ago. Mm-hmm. And I try to really listen careful what they were doing, what the song structure was. And so I had some songs, for example, I Ain't Got You, which was about the Yardbirds. And I played right the same arrangement like the Yardbirds, mm-hmm. and my own compositions. I try to play in this kind of style, and I think when I keep this, I can have a new direction for me, which can be my own direction, mm-hmm. because it's a problem to make music without roots. And in Germany, we don't have rock and roll roots. Mm-hmm. So you have to choose your own roots. And I said, okay, my roots are Yardbirds, Kings.
Instant ancestors.
Eddie Cochran and like this. Mm-hmm. And now I start to make music in this kind of style, but it sounds a lot of different than the music of them. Because I played different guitar.
Yeah.
But the song structure I like to get of them. And that's in a way it's a bit like punk rock in a way. Mm-hmm. But not really. No?
Just the feeling and the energy.
Yeah.
Not the tennis
shoes.
So you're playing gigs now.
Yeah, we started in February with gigs, and it gets more and more. Uh-huh. And they are all smaller gigs and not well paid gigs.
Yeah, just to get the band known.
Yeah.
Have you played in an area far from here, or just?
No, that starts next week. Our first gig is in Cologne. Uh-huh. That's the first time we move out of this area, and then we play in Munich and in Ulm, and I would like to play in the big cities, but it takes some time.
Yeah.
In Berlin I would like to play, and in Hamburg, but we need a bit more experience to make a really good gig in a town like Berlin, mm-hmm. because now we are all the new numbers and a bit shy now. And that will come. Yeah.